That little boy believed his mother that Jesus is there, Jesus is everywhere, even in the dark. But like many of us, he wanted to be even more assured. He was not brave enough to take that step outside. And sometimes we are with God like that. We believe that he is there, we know that he is with us, but when life gets uncertain or scary, we also find ourselves saying, Jesus, if you are there, just pass me the mob, because you know, I'm not able to make those steps, to take those steps. So as I mentioned earlier, this will be more of a personal testimony than a formal sermon, and I wanted to be honest from the start. I am definitely also on learning curve with my trust in God. If I would have to rate myself, it would be probably like 4-5 out of 10. I'm just hoping that this number increases, grows, and not goes down. And I'm so thankful that he is patient with all of us and people as we learn to trust him more step by step. So the first thing I would like to talk is why trust is important. For a long time, this whole topic was confusing to me. I grew up in church, so I always heard about faith, that faith is the most important thing. We are saved by faith. If you have faith, you are saved. Yeah, so it's simple. But at some point, I started to ask myself, what exactly is faith? How can I know for sure that I have that kind of faith that saves, that really saves? At first, I thought that faith means, as many people believe, the same thing. It means that believing that God exists, that means that you believe in God, yeah? That he created the world, that he is real, he is watching over us. That seems solid until I heard the sermon where the preacher said even demons believe that God exists and they tremble. So that didn't work for me then. It shook me a little. Then I thought maybe faith means living a good life, doing the right things, avoiding the wrong things. After all, Jesus said that tree is known by its fruits. So the real test is how you live. But then I read another verse that says, by good works, no one will be saved. So that left me wondering again. And there was the spiritual side. I saw people with amazing spiritual gifts, prophesying, speaking in tongues, healing. Surely I saw that they must have that kind of faith that guarantees salvation. But then I came across that another uncomfortable scripture. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, if I have the gift of prophecy, and if I can move mountains but have no love, I am nothing. Once again, I was back to square one. Things started to change for me when I began hearing teaching in our churches that focus on the relationship, having real, sincere relationship with God. The message was very clear. What matters most isn't religion or good works or even spiritual gifts. It's knowing God personally. So that was a turning point for me. Suddenly, the things started to make more sense for me at that point of my life. I began to understand where trust really fits in. It's not just part of faith, just another addition to the faith. It is the real heart of faith. When trust comes into the center of my relationship with God, everything else flows from it. Good works, spiritual gifts, even how we love each other, they all come naturally when they are rooted in deep trust. So that shift changed my worldview at that time. Faith wasn't just about believing certain things or doing the right things anymore. It became about walking with God day by day, learning to trust him more. Is it switching on? Okay. Trust by definition means having a firm belief in someone's reliability. That's the definition I read in Wikipedia. Having firm belief in someone's reliability, honesty, or ability. But when it comes to people, that kind of trust can be hard to give because people are imperfect. Every one of us has let someone down at some point, even if we didn't mean to. We make mistakes, we forget things, we speak without thinking, we act out of fear or pride or other motives. So when we have been hurt or disappointed by others, especially by people we were close to, it becomes harder to fully trust again. We begin to wonder, what if they let me down again? I know that I can also let others down, but knowing that doesn't make it easier to trust other people still. Another reason it's hard to trust people is that we can't see their hearts. We can't always know if someone is being sincere, honest, or if they are hiding something. Unfortunately, we as a family, we went through the time when we trusted people. We thought we were our friends, and then it turned out that they were just basically using us. Sometimes people have hidden motives, or they say the right things but act differently behind closed doors. And because we have all experienced some level of betrayal, rejection, disappointment, we often build up walls to protect ourselves. Those walls may keep us from being hurt again, but they also keep us from fully trusting or receiving healing if we need it. I wish I could say that trusting God is easier than trusting people, but that there is never any doubt or struggle. But the truth is that, unfortunately, it's not the case. Sometimes trusting God can feel difficult. One of the biggest challenges comes when we have certain expectations, what God should do in our lives, how he should answer our prayers, fix our problems, or guide our steps, and then those expectations don't happen as we hoped. When we pray for healing and it doesn't come, when we ask for direction and feel silence, or when we believe for a breakthrough and things only get harder, that can shake our trust in God. One of the biggest moments that shook my faith was the death of the pastor from my first church. He was a man of God, deeply loved, great minister. And when he was diagnosed with cancer, the entire church began praying and believing for his healing. There were even prophecies and revelations shared about his recovery. We truly expected a miracle, but despite all the prayers, hopes, and faith, he passed away. He left his family and the whole church heartbroken. It was a very hard experience, and it raised painful question: how do we trust God again after something like that? For his family especially, it was a dark and heavy season. But over time, through grief, certainly it took a long time. His son and his daughter, we were friends from school years. It was grief and wrestling with God, probably. They came finally to understand something important, something that helped them keep going. They realized that Hebrews 11 doesn't just celebrate the people who received miracles and victories. It also honors those who didn't receive what they hoped for in this life. And yet they still held on to their faith. So the second half of the chapter reminds us that those people are not lesser in any sense. They are absolute heroes too. And I'm happy to share that this legacy of faith continues in that family. Today his son is the pastor of the church, and his wife and daughter are still following the Lord and are active in their faith. So this story tells me that real trust in God isn't about outcomes all the time. It's about knowing who he is, even if we don't understand what he is doing. That kind of trust grows in the dark and stands firm in pain, and is powerful. That scripture also touched me many years ago when David was fleeing from his son Absalom and his life was in danger. If you remember, he said these words in one of the dialogues that he had when he was hiding and running away. He said, "If I find favor in the Lord's eyes, he will bring me back and let me see the Ark of Covenant he was talking about and his dwelling place. But if the Lord says, I am not pleased with you, then I am ready. Let him do to me whatever seems good to him." So seems like David didn't have a plan B. His only one and only plan was to trust the Lord completely. If that didn't work, he didn't have a backup plan. His trust in God was all or nothing. That was really that's what touched me and is still touching me today. How to build trust certainly is an important question. Right now, in this point of my life, I can see two clear ways. The first way is by reading and believing what the Bible says, and the second way is through personal experience, going through things in life and seeing how God shows himself in my life. So the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is important, not because reading this Word is some kind of magic or something that will keep us saved. It is not about checking a box or making God happy by doing a daily reading. It is not one chapter a day keeps Satan away. The real value of God's word is how it shapes us. At one point of my life, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, had a deep impact on me also. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That verse showed me something important, that we can be programmed as people. People, myself included, are shaped by what we take in. What we watch, hear, read, and even what we admire, all that influence how we think and what we believe is true. That's why God's words matter so much. It helps reset our thinking and align it with what is actually true. As you probably know, even after the Second World War ended, many Germans either couldn't believe or didn't want to believe that Nazi regime is had committed such terrible crimes. The idea was it was too hard for them to accept. The years of propaganda had shaped the way they thought, and what kind of influence, and that kind of influence doesn't disappear overnight. For some, those beliefs stayed with them for the rest of their lives. So they never changed their opinion on the matter. I was still in school when the Soviet Union existed. Yeah, I am that old. And I remember how my school principal, who was a committed communist, tried to turn me away from Christianity because he knew that I was growing in Christian family, and make me an atheist. So they gave me a lot of books and literature to read, and they often argued that religion was nothing more than garbage or opium of the people. Yeah, that's a very, very famous expression in Soviet Union. So those things didn't turn me away from God, but they did create many moments of doubts. I was being constantly taught to see, they tried to teach me to see the world through their lens. And over time, that kind of pressure can start to affect how you think. It was definitely a form of indoctrination, and it made harder for me to keep to my faith during that time. Later in life, when I was in Bible college, I met a young man named Elijah who had a strong and sincere Christian faith. And we became friends, and our conversations about Bible, Christianity, and life in general had really big impact on me. The way he lived and the way he behaved and the thoughts that he shared, that helped to strengthen my own faith in a very real way at that time. So maybe it's just me, but I've noticed that whatever I open my heart and mind to starts to shape the way I think, feel, and believe. That's why I've learned it's so important to open myself to good things, things that build me up and help me to grow and that also encourage others. When I take time to reflect on the truths and situations and principles in the Bible and see how they still apply to life today, that can really strengthen my trust in God. It reminds me that His word isn't just old stories, it speaks into real life right now. That connection between God's truth and my everyday life makes my faith, my trust feel more grounded and alive. The second factor that helped me to build trust in God was different life experiences. In my 40 plus years of Christian life, there have been many situations where I truly believe that it was God that was revealing Himself. I'd like to share just one of them, something that happened not long before we moved to the UK. As you know, the war in Ukraine began on February 24, 2022. And about 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks before that, we decided to visit my parents who live about 600 miles west of Kyiv. Our plan was to return to Kyiv on February 23rd, 2022. But that morning, Radim wasn't feeling well, so we chose to stay just one more day. The next morning, 5 a.m. Kyiv time, 3 a.m. UK time, the first bombs and missiles were dropped on Kyiv and many other cities of Ukraine. Russian tanks invaded from east, south, Belarus, and they reached Kyiv quickly. Our house is in the Bucha district on the western side of Kyiv, it's okay. You can see cave, and it's where this round circle is. That's about where house is. So we couldn't move. We couldn't go back at that time. But the most striking thing for us was that if Radim had been feeling well, and we had returned on 23rd as planned, we would have woken up the next morning to bomb explosions and soon found ourselves surrounded by Russian tanks. So was it just a coincidence? Well, first of all, we had had too many coincidences. And how do you prove something is a coincidence? Yeah, right. So for us, it was clear God was watching over. God was watching over us, even if we didn't fully understand what was coming. You know that song, "Counting My Blessings," all that you've done in my life, and so on. So that song really speaks to me. And I have had a project in my mind for a while now, something I would like to find time to actually do. I want to start documenting all the times God clearly shown His hand in my life, in Radim's life. Angelina's, Natasha's, and us as a family. I'm sure that there'll be many stories with dates, details, numbers, and even maps. That would be a proof for us, definitely. So our experience truly builds trust, because it's not just about believing God from a distance, it's about living with Him, walking with Him through real life situations, and seeing His faithfulness firsthand. Here is just another example from my current work. So if you have worked in an office or remotely on a company computer or a laptop, you may have seen this message pops up. The trust relationship between this workstation, this computer, and the primary domain failed. Right. The thing is that in the most companies, medium, small, large companies, computers are not just standalone devices. They are connected to the network, to the network that's called domain. And there is domain is managed by the central server, which is called domain controller. So if you want to have access to all the company's resources, files, printing, scanning, or whatever, you need to have, your computer needs to have this link or trust relationship with the domain. And when the computer loses this relationship, then you don't have access to those resources. And the only way to get access again is to rebuild the trust relationship. And this process can be, I'm speaking about the computers now. this process can be really painful and hard, and sometimes that it's not straightforward and complicated. So the trust is the crucial part of my faith, probably the most important part. And I know that when I struggle to trust, when there is some breaks in my trust to the Lord, there is no other solution but to rebuild the trust. Restore the trust. It hasn't been easy in the past, and I'm sure it won't always be easy in the future, but the truth is that there are no other options. And from experience, I've learned that when trust is restored, it had powerful impact, not just spiritually, but also emotionally and even physically. It brings peace, strength, and a renewed sense of confidence that I and all of us are still in God's hands. Amen.